Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Ooh, we are just under a week away. 2023 NFL Draft. I am Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. Appreciate each of you tuning in. We're going to keep this thing rolling, man. We got Emory Hunt for Football Game Plan and CBS Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, he has a draft guide that has over 1,000 prospects. We're going to look at some first round options, but when you have a guy who digs that deep, you got to look at some later options. So I'm going to have some of those for you later in the show. We got Chris Sanders, Run TMC. We're going to get into it as well. Got David James.
Yes, sir.
Hitting the buttons. And then we have you. And what do each of you want to know about this Titans draft? Obviously, the hot button topic is the quarterbacks. That's the everything is focused on them. Ryan Tannehill, meanwhile, is over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. In the beginning of voluntary OTAs, they're on the field doing some conditioning work and all that stuff. So that's great to see. But could his replacement be coming in this draft? I don't know. There's a lot of talk about the Titans moving up to the number 3 overall pick. I don't know that I agree with that. I feel that the roster is not in a good enough shape to forfeit 2 future first round picks for one of these guys who I'm not so sure will single-handedly elevate the roster like a Pat Mahomes does, right? So I don't think that you move heaven and earth to get him. You got the rumors about Trey Lance. You know, teams reaching out to the 49ers about him. Brock Purdy said he may not be able to play this year. I don't know that the 49ers would trade Trey Lance, but if they do, they're definitely not parting with him without getting a nice little return. So that's something else to look at. Next, it takes us to 3 quarterbacks because it's basically a foregone conclusion at 1 and 2. It's going to be either Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. I personally hope Anthony Richardson goes number 1. I love him in Carolina, but that's besides the point. Speaking of Anthony Richardson, you look at him and you see some of the things, and it's funny because Jarrett Stillman is actually on an Anthony Richardson desire streak right now. You know, he's really talking a lot about him, and it's funny to hear because you don't normally hear that.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting a little wild with the Anthony Richardson stuff.
Yeah, and I like it, though, because there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of room for growth. I think in the right situation, he will be outstanding. I just don't know that this is the right situation. And furthermore, if I'm Rand Carthon, I don't know, because you move all these picks to go up to get him, man, you're placing everything in the Anthony Richardson basket and not really going to have an opportunity to build as much around him draft-wise. So buyer beware, but there's a lot to be desired with Anthony Richardson. As a matter of fact, he got into a little bit of how he feels about the potential that he has. Here's Anthony Richardson on NFL Network.
You know, honestly, I see it as a blessing. You know, me not having as much experience as the other guys, you know, it just gives me more room to grow and more time to get all their experience and get to their level, you know, when it comes to the game. You know, so I'm excited for it. You know, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to play ball again, ready to get better. You know, there's some truth in some of the things people are saying, but hey, I recognize it myself. You know, they're not the only ones that see it. You know, I don't want to be a guy with a 53 completion percentage or a guy with, you know, barely any touchdowns. You know, I want to be the best. So growing and getting information and just getting better, you know, that's something I plan on doing. And, you know, when the time does come, you know, I get to a team, I get to get on the field and keep getting more experience.
There you have it right there, Anthony Richardson. I like the fact that he recognized, you know, that there's room for improvement. And he pointed to the completion percentage, which I know we all are fussing about, and understandably. But I tell you what, he's not the only guy that could be there. You know, you go to pick 11, there's a chance, right, depending on what the Raiders do. Obviously, the Colts, you know, there's a chance that Will Levis could be there. Now, if he's there, is that somebody that the Titans should pick. I'll let a former quarterback for the New York Giants, and Danny Cannell on NFL on CBS, I'll let him tell you. Here's what he had to say.
I'm sorry. I just don't understand the Will Levis hype as a top five pick. This is the most overhyped quarterback of the last decade. And it stems from something that really bothers me. When people fall in love with a quarterback based on how they look in shorts and a t-shirt throwing against air. Yeah, Will Levis dominated his pro day, but where did he dominate the game tape? Yes, you saw flashes of brilliance and you saw some wow throws. But more times than not, I saw a quarterback struggle with the basic throws, routine throws. You want to make those look easy and you'll get the wow throws will come later. Statistically, if you look at his season, it looks okay, 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But you have to remember, 9 of those touchdowns came against MAC competition. Everyone wants to project Will Levis as the next Josh Allen, but I think there's a more likelihood he's the next Jake Locker or, best case, Mitch Trubisky.
Very interesting words from Danny Cannell. I tell you, there's a lot to like about Will Levis. And look, I go back to that Florida game. That throw on that post was just beautiful for the touchdown. So he'll have those type of things. And, you know, when you get a guy that's as talented as Will Levis, it's kind of a gift and a curse situation. What do I mean by that? Well, he's so gifted as far as the arm strength and the ability to fit it into tight places. He's so gifted that he's going to have that supreme confidence that he could do things that he has no business doing. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers, or even you look before Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. Brett Favre led the NFL all time in interceptions. But he's one of the best in positive stats as well. But why was that? Because he was that gunslinger that always felt that he could, you know, get the ball into places that he shouldn't be trying to. It's a lot like Matt Stafford. I've seen a Matt Stafford comparison for Will Levis, and I really like that comp. I just don't know if I go for that at 11. The one thing that's good about him there is that you don't have to move up to get him. You could grab him right at 11. Now, there's one other guy. I don't think you have to get him at 11. In fact, if you want to move back, you might be able to. There's a chance that you could get him at 41 as well, because a lot of the teams at the top that are going to need quarterbacks will have already gotten them. And that's Hendon Hooker. He's a guy that before he was injured, he was considered at certain points the best quarterback or the best player in college football. It was Hendon Hooker, not Caleb Williams. It was Hendon Hooker. So I definitely think you have to look at that. The thing with him that you know, is intriguing is the offense that he was in. You have to be able to project that Josh Heupel performance into the NFL. Granted, there were a lot of wide open reads and things that he was able to make. But he did have to make a lot of decisions on every play. And the fact that that was asked of him is something that I like. But don't let me speak for it. We're going to bring in former GM Rich Spielman, who was on CBS Sports. Let's hear what he had to say about Hooker.
I really think Hendon Hooker is one of the quarterbacks in this draft that you know, people are talking about the age, the coming off the ACL, but I think he has he may be one of the better quarterbacks coming out of this draft before it's said and done.
How would you compare him to Will Levis?
I did not see his workout, and he couldn't work out because of the ACL. We had an opportunity on the CBS set to interview him, and when you sit down and just talk with a kid, and I didn't sit and talk with him privately, but that 5 or 6 minutes we had him on stage, you can tell how everybody gravitates to that player. And when we talked to some other Tennessee players, they said Hendon Hooker is the first one in the building. He's A+ on all the intangible side and does everything you need to do from an intangible side to be a successful quarterback. His personality and my initial reaction to when I did speak with him reminded me a lot of Teddy Bridgewater's kind of personality and leadership, where it's just, you don't have to be a loud guy. You can be a quiet guy, but somehow his teammates really gravitate to his leadership and how he performs on the field and his work ethic. And how he fits culturally in the locker room. And I think Hendon Hooker has a lot of that in him that will make a pretty smooth transition to the NFL.
I like that. One other note, Brian London, who was a QB coach for the Falcons, was on the staff there at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, Hendon Hooker didn't play in it, but he worked with them. So that's something else to consider. And, yeah, and it was actually Charles London. Excuse me. I had the wrong name there. But nevertheless, the point is made. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We're going to keep this thing rolling. Let's get into Run TMC with Chris Sanders. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right. Music fades. The lights dim. We're going old school today. 1983. And now, coming to you live from the Spectrum.
Oh no, don't,
in
no
Philadelphia. At shooting guard for your 76ers. Number 22, Andrew Tony.
And now, starring for your Los Angeles Lakers, James Worthy. Hey, I had that one in the chamber, dog.
I thought you were going to call me Byron Scott since he likes
no.
me.
How you doing, my man? Hey, first of all, I got to give props where props is due, man. You know, sometimes we don't listen to each other on the radio, whatever, whatever. But when I heard you last week, man, dude, I give you mad respect of what your craft is and how you break down players and how you interview cats. I just want to give you props on that, my man.
I appreciate that, man. It's you know, we just do what we do. We try to That's make it up. Seem like we're a couple guys, you know, just sitting in the bar or sitting wherever talking shop, man. That's how we
And
do.
We don't know what's going to happen in the first pick. Nobody knows.
No. No,
only
we really
Carolina
don't.
Knows.
Yeah, Carolina's the only one that knows what's going to happen.
Absolutely. They might
I wonder if they
player.
Even know. You know what I mean? Because, hey, I don't know. It yeah. could be Anthony Richardson. Could it be C.J. Stroud? Bryce Young? Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, it's because the thing about it is everybody's saying that Bryce Young is going to be picked in the number one pick, but he might not fit the scheme of what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They may go with Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. We just never know. But yeah. Something's going to happen crazy, and I cannot wait, boss.
Yeah, this is going to be a crazy draft, man.
It is.
I mean, look, like something that you had mentioned before we got on would be considered crazy by some. I don't think it's crazy because,
crazy.
I mean, if you feel that it's the guy, then it's your guy. And that's something that I'm saying is that you have an intriguing option at number 11. Now, we're going to do our actual mock next week. That'll be on Run TMC next week. But, hey, I mean, give him a taste with the pick right there that you said at 11.
Yeah, because I know everybody's talking about, you know, if Will Levis is going to be there, Anthony Richardson going to be there, Everybody's talking about those two guys. And the guy that I love, and I know he's hurt, is I like Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, 6'4", 218. But here's why I love him. I know everybody's saying, you know, he's hurt, he hurt his knee, which is a great case. But let me break something down to you. The reason why a lot of quarterbacks are good in the league is because they're consistent. And if you look at all those three quarterbacks that I'm going to talk about, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker is the most consistent quarterback. Let me break it down to you. Will Levis in 2021, he threw 24 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. In 2022, he threw for 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Let's go to Richardson. In 2021, he threw 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 2002, he threw 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Now, let me get to Hendon Hooker. 2021, 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. 2022, 27 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Now tell me which one is the most consistent quarterback.
Hey, you laid it out.
Tell me. Who's a consistent quarterback? If Hendon Hooker didn't hurt his knee, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
That's the thing. And I said that in the last segment. I said, you know, before the injury, this is a guy that some had rightfully said whereas he was the best player in college football. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now,
but will you take a pick on him, though, at the 11th pick? I don't know. Do you bring him in? Do you let him sit behind Tanny and let him get healthy and learn and then hope that he develops into that franchise quarterback? Those are the questions that I can't answer.
Do you have any quirks about the age, you know, with him?
Yeah,
so he would be, 26 or 27 when he starts his first game?
I agree with you, but even though he's 26, he still hasn't played a lot of football. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's 26 in age, I still think he can play, you know, his longevity can still be good. And I respect that. I know he's old. He's like, 26? 27?
Yeah, 26.
But still, he makes plays. Look at Brady. Brady was, what hell was Brady when he retired? 45, 44? Something like that. So
age,
I know everybody talks about age, but sometimes, you know, go by what this guy has done, not by how old he is.
I mean, that makes sense. But when you look at the longevity side of it, do you think there's any issue there, though?
I mean, it could be. But the thing about it is, it all depends if he stays healthy. I mean, you know, with the quarterbacks not getting touched in the league now,
yeah.
I mean, he might can last a little longer. And one thing I love about this cat, Hendon Hooker, man, listen, he completed 69% of his passes last year, and then this year he completed 69%. So what does that tell you? He's a smart player. He understands how to read coverages. He understands where to throw the ball. He understands how to get out of the pocket. He understands that what he needs to do. And then also, too, is, you know, I believe that he understands how to play situational ball. When I say situational ball is, how do you handle the two-minute drill? You know, how do you handle when you're backed up at the 30-yard line and you need to get a field goal? Like with a minute and 30 seconds left on the clock, mm-hmm. How do you win the game? He's good at that.
Yeah, there was – I don't know if you've seen it. There's on ESPN Plus, they have – it's called On the Clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about 22 to 30 minutes. Eli Manning, Archie Manning, Peyton Manning. And it's a program where they focus on a quarterback. And they invited Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young, among others. But these four were on the show – they invited those guys to the Manning passing camp. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like a documentary on him. It was really interesting about Hendon Hooker. When they showed just kind of like how he went through that season and up until mm-hmm. that point that he got injured. And one of the things, and what made me think of it is something that you said earlier. One of the things that continues to come out when people talk about him is how much of a leader he is and how like just much of a pleasant person he is to be around. And wow. it makes me wonder, like, okay, that I think is a part of his age. You know what I mean? His maturity,
oh.
right? So you look, right?
Yeah.
Brandon Weeden is the oldest quarterback to be selected in the first round as of September 1st of his draft year. He was 28. Then you got Jim Druckenmiller. Ooh, I remember him from Virginia Tech, man. I was a 49ers fan back in the day.
Yeah.
That pick broke my heart, man. But you got Chad Pennington at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who the fourth highest is? It's Ryan Tannehill at 24.1
wow.
years old. So
wow.
he was sliding above those guys. But I think it's really interesting just when you look at, you know, what he brings to the table and those intangibles as a quarterback, you know, being able to go into a huddle and have 11 guys or 10 guys lead him, follow him.
Yeah, and he knows how to lead. You know, and I'm going to tell you how I know how he lead is because when they were in the bowl game, he's sitting on the back, but he's still coaching up the quarterback that was in front of him. I mean, come on, man. Your knee is hurt. You're on crutches. And in the bowl game, you're coaching up the quarterback that's in the game. That's leadership. He makes everybody around him better. And the one thing I love about him, too, is he's got that quiet confidence. He's just real quiet confidence. Be like, you know what? Let me just go throw these touchdowns and go back on the sideline. I mean, you just love it. You will follow guys like that. He kind of reminds me of, you remember Happy Days?
Yeah.
The Fonz. I mean, just, cool. You knew the Fonz was going to win when he showed up. That's exactly how Hendon Hooker is. Let me go. This is Alabama. Okay, I see press coverage. Let me throw this touchdown and go to the sidelines. I mean, that's just how he was. And you want a guy like that. You will follow a guy like that because he leads in the right way. I just hope they don't throw a monkey wrench into what he's doing because he's 26 years old, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. Hey, look, if they take him, listen, they have reason to do so because, again, it goes back to what we said. This was one of the best players in college football, you know, when healthy. And ACL injuries are not the same as they used to be. So
right.
You know, it's something that he could definitely come back from and be fine. So, yeah, man, it's we're getting closer and closer. Next week, we got to get this mock going. We'll go. I mean, you want to go – We'll go the whole first round. Why not?
You want to go to the first round? Let's do it then.
We'll finish it out. So that's what you folks have to look forward to next week.
Let me put some pressure on you real quick. If you had to make the pick today and Ron Carthon called and said, listen, TD, hey, I need your help. Who do you think I should pick? Who would you pick out of all these people we talked about? Not just quarterback, not edge rusher, everybody that's out in the draft. Who would you pick?
That's a tough question. I mean, as far as what I think is going to be available to them?
No, not even available. Just if everybody was there. Who we talked about?
I'm probably still going Paris Johnson Jr.
Oh, from Ohio State?
Yeah, I'm probably still going to solidify that offensive line. Maybe even play him on the right side. You let Dillard stay on the left, and you bump a T. Ferrar over the left guard, and you just kind of shuffle things around a little bit. That's probably the direction that I would go.
You know, I can't disagree with you on that. I would go with a lineman also, but the only lineman, there's two linemen that I like in this draft is Skoronski. I like him, and I like Broderick Jones from Georgia.
Yeah, he's intriguing.
But he struggles a little bit in pass pro with his feet a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I know he didn't give up any sacks or anything last year, but he still kind of struggles being out of position with his feet. But, man, you're talking about a bully, a explosive run blocker. I mean, I like those two cats.
There you have it right there. Well, we'll be back next week with the full first-round mock, so you got that to tune into. We're going to go ahead and cut to a break. We've had Peebo Bryson on here speaking long enough. Now it's time to pay some bills.
This is Aaron Brewer, and we're talking with TD.
That's right. This is my world. You just a squirrel trying to get a nut. That's right. You hear Orange Juice Jones. You already know what's happening. That's the theme music when we're bringing in football game plan. CBS Sports HQ, Emery Hunt. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I would never not smile when that song is played.
Exactly, man. That song is just one of those. You know, always think of the picture that we have circulating in the group chat. I'm sitting there puffing on a cigarette, trench coat on, legs crossed, looking out the window. That's the funniest picture ever, man. Well, speaking of pictures, it's starting to come into form as far as the number 11 overall pick. There's a lot of rumors that the Titans may move up. There's rumors that they may move back. Let's just go under the premise that they stay. Well, no. Let's start with this. Is there someone on the board that you think they should move up to number 3 for?
Unless they can get Will Anderson, then that, or Jalen Carter, that would be it for me, because I feel like those are the, you know, the elite of the elite. But other than that, you can kind of stay where you are and get someone that can help you out right away. Because, you know, unless you foresee a run on a particular position happening before, then I can understand the move up. But, you know, just from my, you know, point of view, I just feel like unless it's one of those two guys on defense to help the Titans, because I don't think they need a quarterback. I think they can still work with Malik Willis, you know, and I feel like elsewhere, there's some good players, but I feel like those good players would be there for them when they're on the clock.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's stick to that because you're saying you don't feel that they should move up to get a quarterback. I happen to agree. Malik Willis, do you think there was an extreme rush to judgment with him?
Absolutely, man. Again, he was one of the – usually, and you know this, TD, I'm team, you don't get better by sitting on the bench. But the one guy I said, well, he's going to have to – you got to be patient with him, was Malik Willis. And I feel like when they threw him out there, and you know how this is, when the coach doesn't have full confidence in you, you're not playing fast, you're not playing free, you're constantly looking to the sideline, wondering if I made the right decision or was that a mistake, am I going to get pulled? And it makes you inconsistent. And so for Malik, you saw that. Because, again, look how he played versus Kansas City juxtaposed to how he played in another game where they ended up going search for an option to replace him in Josh Dobbs. So I feel like he's still what you thought he could be. And I think there is still a pathway for him to have success. They just need to buy into what he does well and craft that offense around him and help, you know, shrink that gap between not ready to play and ready to play.
Yeah, and I think another thing that a lot of people that, you know, aren't there, they don't know, is that there were many times where their practice was at jog speed, right? You know, you're not going full speed. And you mentioned the need for a guy like Malik to be able to see everything and get acclimated. Well, how can you get acclimated to the speed of the game if the only time you're seeing the speed of the game is on a Sunday? You know what I mean? You're not seeing it throughout the week. So to your point there, I like how you mentioned the defense, though. Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, those are two of, as you mentioned, the premier players. But outside of that, at 11, what do you think they should do?
I feel like Tennessee is in a great spot in a situation where, man, they can go in one of five directions. They can take one of the elite receivers because I feel like that's the need. They could take an elite linebacker. I feel like they can get one there if they wanted to. I'm a big fan of Deion Henley, but they can take a great corner. Yeah, even though that would mean going back to the well once again in round one for a corner, I get that. They can get a great offensive tackle or guard, or a guy that could do both. I feel like any one of those options will be there as well. So it depends on – this is where you go into the GM room and they say, okay, here's our draft board. Here's our top-rated player at these five spots. This guy's on the board. Let's go to our highest-graded player at our biggest area of need, and I think that's the direction they go in.
And we're talking to Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan, CBS Sports. So – with their pick, you know, at pick 11, right, you got 10 guys off the board. Let's say Devin Weatherspoon is there. Paris Johnson Jr. is there. Jackson Smith and Jigba is there. Let's see. Keon White is there. And we'll just round it out. We'll put another receiver in there. Quentin Johnson is there. What do you do?
Well, yeah, that's a great problem to have. I'll break it down for you like this. I would lean toward, okay, if we're going to develop our young quarterback that we took last year, got to get him a weapon. Outside of Treylon Burks, I would lean toward Jackson Smith and Chigba. If you also want to go and say, hey, well, we got to make sure we protect him up front, you know, Paris Johnson would be that guy if we don't fully buy into who we drafted last year in Nick Petet-Pyrie, you know, and maybe we can kick somebody else out and move him down or whatnot, play musical chairs with the offensive line. Or do we get better by being better on defense and double down on another cover guy? But I would probably lean toward Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think, to me, that is the biggest question, in my opinion, on this offense. Who threatens you outside of Treylon Burks? I know you have good options, but who's the threat that you have to designate coverage toward outside of Burks? And I feel like adding Jackson Smith and Jigba, a guy that can work deep, can work short, can work intermediate, would do just that in terms of helping that quarterback get up to speed because you get the ball to him quickly. And because he's a very good run-after-catch guy, I think that'll help out the young quarterback from Malik Willis when he gets on the field.
What is it about him, Emory, that makes you think that he could be more than just a slot guy? Because, you know, they have Kyle Phillips there, so he will likely settle in, you know, at one of the outside spots.
Well, because, you know, coming from Ohio State, his route running is going to be excellent. Mm-hmm. He has fantastic hands. He's a bigger guy, so you know he can get off bump press. And therefore, now you have a Kyle Phillips can operate a little bit more freely inside. So, yeah, when you're getting someone that's as talented as Jackson Smith and Jigba, that's versatile to be a Z or a slot, I think you can't go wrong there. And he has a size. So it goes in line with what they like, these big physical receivers and players. And I think he would be a better fit more so than someone who I think is an overall better talent in Zay Flowers, to me, in Tennessee.
Yeah, we're talking to Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, CBS Sports. We know you do this draft thing all the way through day three and into the UDFAs. So we'll get a couple sleepers from you. But before we do that, any other surprises that, you know, you think could be there for the Titans at 11?
What if they take the running back? You know, what if they take, you know, Bijan Robinson? That would, to me, be the biggest surprise. Because we heard rumblings about them and they were shopping Derrick Henry or whatnot, whether that was true or not. But, you know, sometimes where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire. I doubt that that is the case. That would be the biggest surprise. Or the other big surprise would be to take, you know, Bluegrass Bortles over there and Will Levis. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, if that happens, that would be another big surprise because I don't think he beats out Malik Willis.
Wow. I like that. I like that. Bluegrass Bortles. That's a good one. As we continue this going, I know when I reached out to you, I told you mainly the first round, pick number 11. But, I mean, look, I got to pick your brain on some of these later options. As far as a day three receiver, who would you think would be of benefit to the Titans?
You know what? Let's keep it local. Let's keep it within the state of Tennessee. How about UT Martin's receiver, Colton Dowell? You know, he's 6'2", 210, ran 4.41 at his pro day. You go back and watch that game against the Tennessee Volunteers, and he had those DBs in crisis mode. Like, they couldn't cover him. He was going deep down the field, working short, intermediate, laying out for receptions, you know, diving for a pass deep down in the end zone. Remarkable talent at UT Martin. And I think he is someone, obviously, is going to be there on day three, 40 inch vertical. So he has the athletic requisite skills. He has the size that Tennessee loves, and he has a game against big-time opponents. So I was able to see him down at the College Gridiron Showcase, had a great week of work there. So for me, that's someone on day three I could see, or maybe a little bit earlier, maybe late day two, maybe early day three if he's still around, Dontavius Wicks of Virginia. Big fan of him. You know, he is someone that legitimately can stack and accelerate downfield and went above the rim. He's a physical receiver. He's my number two X receiver behind Mike Wilson of Stanford. The Stanford kid would be good too, but he has that asterisk by him if he's healthy, and that's always going to be the biggest key to him. But, man, Wicks is a legit stud out there on the perimeter. Another one of these big-bodied wide receivers that can really go.
I like that pick, Wicks. I'm going to watch the UTM guy. I'm going to watch him. What about tight end, right? So they went out and got Trevon Wesco, a guy I liked coming out of West Virginia a few years ago. You got Chig Okonkwo, who obviously, you know, was someone I really liked last year. Any later tight ends that you could see?
Lakeland Pitts of William & Mary. And Mike London did a fantastic job with this program, you know, in such a short period of time. And he's an inline guy, but can run routes rather well. And he blocks rather well. He can give you what you want up front on the line of scrimmage and allow Okonkwo to be more of that move piece and that flex guy. And he is excellent in terms of how he runs his routes and blocks because he's violent in all aspects. So I think he's a deep sleeper, someone that has garnered some interest around the scouting, you know, circle. But his tape is excellent. And you also look at a lot of these guys that are coming from these smaller programs. I know guys like Luke Musgrave is from Oregon State, and he's probably going to be going in day two. You know, so for me, it's about, okay, who can you get later that can block and who can catch football? So that's why I think Lakeland Pitts would be a really good option at tight end.
The last one, prospect-wise, before we get into the draft guide, which, you know, that is the standard by which anybody that wants to put a complete draft, that's what they got to measure up to. So we'll get into that in a second. But can you give me one offensive lineman and one edge rusher?
Sure. You talking about late rounds?
Yeah, and it could be, you know, 3-4 DN or 3-4 outside backer, whichever.
Well, here's the thing about the offensive line. I am surprised that no one is talking about Jordan McFadden out of Clemson. You know, he was a star left tackle for Clemson his entire career. You watch the tape, and he's just excelling right there. But he's 6'2", and we know they're not going to put him on the line of scrimmage at left tackle at 6'2". So why not kick him down inside at left guard or right guard, secure your pass pro with him, but also be excellent in the run game? Again, I'm even shocked that this guy was a starting left tackle at a Power 5 program that runs the ball like Clemson does and throws the ball like they do, you know, with their quick power sets, and he's able to hold his own, and no one's talking about him. He's my number one guard. So I feel like that's one that's going to be there on day three that could excel, step in and play right away. Big-time program, fits what they want up front, and he can do a lot of the things well. And I'll give you a sleeper for day three. More on the line, because I have him as a great as a D tackle, but I feel like because of his skill set, he could play a five technique up front, and that's Darryl Middleton out of Bethel, which is in Tennessee. Just keeping it local there. Here's the thing. Don't even watch his NIA film, because it don't make sense. Like, clearly he's just, you know, throwing dudes around. Go back and watch him when he played at Tennessee. He was doing the same thing against Alabama, doing the same thing against Auburn. You know, he was someone that was just throwing guys around. He's 6'6", 305. So he can play D-tackle. He can play that big five technique defensive end in his 3-4 defense. And he's just a really good football player. The problem is, obviously, you know, he bounced from Tennessee. Then he was supposed to go to Jackson State, but ended up at Bethel. He missed his pro day. He didn't show up for his pro day. But he was at the Hula Bowl, you know. And so there's a lot going on. And I know Tennessee is probably scarred from what they drafted a couple of years ago in the first round. But, man, when it comes together for him, you go back and watch his film, he is just insane. I would also throw out there Caleb Murphy, another underrated all-star event player from Ferris State. The dude had 25 and a half sacks last year as a senior. That's just nuts, you know. So when you're trying to game plan for Ferris State, who won a Division II national championship their back-to-back seasons, you have to figure out how to stop Murphy, and Murphy just found his way in the backfield. He also went out to the Shrine game and performed well. You saw him dropping back in coverage, running and matching up versus tight end, so he's a fluid athlete. But it's hard for me to ignore 25 and a half sacks. He's someone that I think is going to do a really good job at the next level.
That's pure production. And here's the thing. We're talking to Emory Hunt, football game plan, CBS Sports. You're mentioning guys from Ferris State, from Bethel. This is the type of depth that your draft guide goes to. First, let the listeners know where they could get it. And then also, just a quick synopsis of how do you go, how many players you cover in it, and how you're able to get all of this work done. A one-man show, so to speak.
Well, they can go find it at footballgameplan.com/2023draftguide. It's a PDF file, so you'll get it as soon as you order. It'll be right in your inbox for you to enjoy. Full color pages, over 1,000 individual scouting reports. So each prospect in the book has a report. So you have over 1,060, so you'll have 1,060 pages of draft content. It's not a situation where we only give you a report on the first 100 and just list everybody else. Nah, this is the industry standard, like you mentioned, and this is the quintessential draft guide. You want to know who's going into the draft, who your team drafts, who's your undrafted free agent, and what happens during the preseason training camp and during the regular season when guys hop on and off the practice squad roster. This is the type of guy that you need that is full year-round that helps you understand, become a much better, more informed fan on what's out there. So footballgameplan.com/2023draft guide. It takes me takes me 12-hour days from the end of the All-Star game circuit, so right before the Super Bowl, through the combine, through the entire month of March. So, you know, it's really in-depth and concise, and it's a lot of information.
How many All-Star games did you go to?
I went to all eight, you know, so.
All of them?
All of them. Find you a draft analyst that has gone to eight All-Star games, from the small ones to the major ones. Even the one in February, the HBCU Legacy Bowl before the combine, I was there too. So there's not many prospects that I haven't seen in this class. So you get a good, well-rounded draft guy with that one.
Can't beat that, ladies and gentlemen. That's Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, CBS Sports. I know this upcoming week is going to be busy for you. And, man, just keep kicking butt.
I appreciate it, man, and I enjoy listening to the show and watching you just continue to blossom.
Thank you. That was Emory Hunt, man. As you see, he goes deep. We might as well call him Shark because of how deep he goes. I really appreciate him coming on. Shout out to Chris Sanders. Really, really intriguing take, man. He stood on it, though, so you got to appreciate that. Shout out to David James over here, man.
Always loving it.
Keeping this thing rolling. We're going to call you Cut Creator, making this thing happen over there. And most importantly, shout out to each of you. You guys tune in, and girls tune in every week, man. And that support, it means the world. I can't thank you guys enough. And those of you who are just listening, appreciate that too. If you want to tell somebody about the show, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get really good listening materials, make sure you search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. You know, we appreciate you.